wonderful stuff. The world needs the gospel, and they need young people to launch out and minister in various places. And that's one of the privileges we have, as I mentioned this morning, to launch out some of these couples in places where we cannot be. And Seattle desperately, desperately, desperately needs the gospel. And so does Pennsylvania. And these two couples are headed in those directions. So when Rachel first started singing this song, she didn't know where she was going. She does now. It's Pennsylvania, right? But we're grateful for them. And I'll tell you some more about some things, Lord willing, a little bit later on. But we're going to miss a lot of music out of those two couples as well, which I'm sure Pastor Brew is keenly aware of. But we're grateful for what God's doing. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verses 8 and 9. 2 weeks ago, we preached on the verse, as I mentioned this morning, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We mentioned that it's part of humility to say, God, I'm going to let you care for some things. It's pride that says I can handle it myself. But in the context, I want us to be careful that we don't say, well, I'm just going to cast all my care upon God and just sit back and do nothing. I'm just going to kind of chill and kick up my feet and let God do whatever He wants to do. Now, the author here, Peter, immediately corrects that thinking, if you will, by saying, hey, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, there is still a need to be thoroughly self-controlled and alert, as one author said, which is just what Peter himself failed to do when he denied Christ. Peter had miserably failed in this area, and we're going to get to some truths of that. Even some of the words that Peter chose to use were words that the Lord used with him that he failed to heed. I've titled the message this morning simply, The Adversary. We mentioned a number of weeks ago in our family series that we have an enemy. And he is vicious, ruthless, and would love to destroy us and anybody connected with us or anybody connected with Christ. And this morning, I want us to simply see this thought. You must be aware that the enemy wants to destroy you. And whenever you think that he's not after you, you're already in big trouble. Because it's exactly where he'd love for you to be. Let's pray together. Father, as we've prayed a number of times already, we pray that you would rebuke the enemy by the blood and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to accurately deal with Scripture this morning and apply it to our hearts and lives. We need it. I need it. And we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Number one, I want us to look at our alertness. This word sober is a command. The word vigilant is a command. You know, the word sober means to be calm or collected in spirit, to be self-controlled, if you will, or circumspect. And it's the idea of, as one person would say, put your head on a swivel. In other words, I ought to be aware of what is around me at all times. The word vigilant means to give strict attention to or to be cautious. Something out there wants to destroy you. Now for sake of illustration this morning, let's assume for a moment that I was going to walk about the auditorium and somebody I'm going to grab. Okay? These four people are thinking, I don't know this man and we're visiting this morning and this is crazy, right? Would you not be more alert as I got close to you that I might be grabbing you? Carrie's really nervous right now. She's like, surely I'm fairly new too. I'm like, Kevin's not new at all, right? Here's the deal. Sometimes we get in a mode and we forget that he's actually out there walking about seeking whom he may devour. And it's not just something where you grab him and you go, oh man, you scared me. We kind of chuckle. That's not what he's after. He wants to get a hold of you and he wants to destroy you. And the author, Peter, says, hey, be alert. Be circumspect. Be aware that somebody is out there and he wants to get a hold of you. When I was in the Marine Corps, we were tasked with what was really an unfair assignment. Not unfair from our standpoint, unfair for the poor guys that we were going against. Because there was Brother Barry's not here this morning, so I can talk about the Coast Guard. There was a Coast Guard unit, and they were not used to combat operations, let's say it that way, all right? They were not men that were trained in that. But their commander felt like they were not really up to par, if you will. And so he asked us, as a Marine Corps unit trained in those kind of things, to make an attack on them. And he gave us a 3-day window to do it in. I want to tell you, those poor boys didn't know what hit them when we hit them. Now, it was all blanks, which is a good thing, right? But you've probably never seen a blank fire, but it actually shoots a fire about this big. And if it's laying right next to you, it will really mess you up, okay? It will certainly scare you. They weren't alert. They knew we were coming within a time period. Now, here's the deal. We know, theoretically, theologically, that Satan wants to destroy us. But if we're honest with ourselves, most of us don't think it will be today. In other words, we're just not thinking about it. In other words, probably none of you woke up this morning with an acute awareness that Satan was after you this morning. But we should be. We should be. The truth is, I was more acute of that this morning and this week because I knew what I was preaching. But that in itself is a conviction, isn't it? Because he's not just after me when I'm preaching on him, he's after me all the time. It's important for us. By the way, this word vigilant is translated watch most of the time. Jesus used it when he asked him the three to pray with him in the garden. Do you remember who one of those three was? Peter. Matthew 26:38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye and watch with me. Matthew 26:40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Do you think Peter may have had this story in mind as he pens the words to these believers? Be sober. Be vigilant. He wants to get you. I'm sure Peter had this in mind. As I've said often, history records that every time Peter heard the cock crow, he wept. A reminder that Satan won in his life that time. Paul used both of these words to warn the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Be careful, he says. He also used it to the church at Corinth. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Our alertness is usually impacted by how real we believe the threat to be. The lower the threat, the less alertness. Let me give you another quick illustration. In the last probably 4 or 5 months, my truck has intermittently not started. Brother Bob jumped me a couple times at school in April. I've done everything I know to do to try to solve the problem. I put a brand new battery in it. The people said, yep, your battery's bad. First time I cranked it after they put the battery in, it didn't crank. I tried the starter. I've tried everything. I got one more thing to try that I think it might be, but it's been cranking lately, which is good and bad, right? It's like, okay, I don't want it to not crank, but yet then I'll be able to test it, right? You know, I usually don't get in my vehicle and think, oh boy, I hope it starts. Now, some of you might, knowing the looks of your vehicles, but most of us don't do that, right? We just get in and start. Matter of fact, I drove my car today instead of my truck because we have the picnic at the house and I've already got other issues at my house and I didn't want another issue of my truck not starting, so I drove the car today. But I'm more keenly aware of putting the key into the ignition and turning it over because it's like, what am I going to get, right? Most of us, you're not going to get in your vehicle and think, I wonder if my vehicle's going to start today. You just assume it's going to start. Assume that Satan's after you. And he's after you right now. Like, I'm in church. Oh, yeah, I know. He's after you right now. Like, how? What's for lunch? The clock's not working in the back. I wonder if Pastor realizes that. Man, I'm hungry. Boy, these chairs are comfortable. I think I'll squibble down a little bit. Ah, yes. Man, I got to go to work tomorrow. Right? Like, how do you know all those things? Yeah. He does that with me too, right? And before long, you're like, what did he just say? Don't you love it when a preacher says, right, brother? And you're like, yeah. I mean, what are you supposed to say? Well, I wasn't actually listening to you right at that moment. I'm sorry. My mind got distracted, you know. I mean, we're that way. It's constant. How alert are you today? There are many people who are shipwrecked today because they were not alert. They weren't alert to themselves. They weren't alert to their marriage. They weren't alert to their children. And they allowed the devil to destroy them. Peter says, be sober. Be vigilant. Our alertness. But number two, we see our adversary. I'm not going to give an overview totally of the devil and what he does. I'm just going to take some things that we know from here, and then we're going to look at a couple of other verses. But let's look first off at his names. He mentions here, first off, he says, your adversary, and then he says the devil. So use two different words there. The word adversary simply means your enemy. He's your enemy. He's not your friend. He never has been your friend, and he never will be your friend. And when he puts his arm around you, whatever he says is a lie. Whatever he says, it's a lie. He's the father of lies. He doesn't know how to tell the truth. You just bank on it. He's an enemy. But then he uses the word the devil. This word is the slanderer or the false accuser. Someone has called him the author of evil. And he loves to false accuse people. He loves to slander you. He loves to slander God. He loves to slander everyone. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, and I heard a loud voice say in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You know what the devil loves to do? We know from the book of Job that he loves to stand before God and say, what about him? Did you see what he did? Do you know that he says this, but he actually lives this way? Did you know he did that yesterday? That's what he likes to do. But not only do we see his names, but we see his nature. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are to be aware. It says here, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The word roaring literally means a howling lion. This would be real to them as Nero was putting Christians to death by lions in a theater. This would be very much alive to them. I remember a number of years ago we took our family to the Asheboro Zoo. To be honest with you, we were fairly disappointed with the zoo overall. There was a couple exhibits closed, and though I've heard from a lot of people say, well, it's a really good zoo, we just were disappointed, except for one thing. There was a lion there, and he was down in this valley cage thing, and something had ticked him off. And pretty much over the whole zoo, you could hear him. This deep, guttural, and it was like, the first one I was like, what was that? I was like, oh, that's a lion. Boy, did this passage come about. It's like, wow. I don't care how manly you think you are. If you heard that in the woods, you would be alert. I mean, it would be like, whoa, what was that and where is it, right? That's what he's doing. He's a roaring lion, and he's walking about. One definition of this phrase is to make due use of his opportunities. Did you get that? He's going to make due use of his opportunities. By the way, if we're not careful, we'll serve those opportunities on a platter. We put ourselves in positions where he can take advantage, and he knows it. Be careful. Job chapter 1 and verse 7, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. That's what he'd been doing. Walking about, seeking whom he may devour. By the way, I have my next subject. I'd like to target Job, please. This word seeking means in order to find. You say, well, of course. No. Don't miss that. He's not just seeking generically. He's looking specifically for something. Now, those of you that have ever had children, you ever send a child to a bedroom to look for something, and they pretty much do this. They walk in the bedroom. I can't find it. You know, anybody ever had that experience? You know, it's like, no. I actually want you to look for it. Oh, Mom, I can't see it anywhere. You know, you walk in the room, move one towel that they threw down, and it's right there, or whatever it may be, right? Satan is not just casually looking. He's seeking so that he may find. One author said he is always actively seeking an opportunity for a vicious attack. The word devour literally means to drink down or to swallow down or to destroy. One author said it's literally to drink down, but it is use of an animal swallowing its prey. That's a pretty grotesque sight. And if you've ever watched any of these animal shows or whatever where the gazelle gets its heart ripped out and you see this lion just diving into the guts of it and it's like, ugh. That's the picture God wants you to have of what Satan wants to do to you. He wants to gut you. He's not playing games. We're not talking about a scratch on the arm. He wants to destroy you. Psalm chapter 22 and verse 13 says, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Do you realize that he wants you? No one in this room will be the exception. He wants all of us. You're like, well, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. He wants you. Well, I do know him as my Savior. He wants you too. It's different. The ones who don't know Christ as their Savior, he'd love to take you to hell. Because that's where he's doomed to. He's already sealed there. But as many people as he can take with him, boy, that's what he'd love to do. But if you're a Christian, he knows he can't take you out of heaven, but he'd sure love to destroy you here. He'd love to destroy your testimony. He'd love to destroy your family. He'd love to make you totally ineffective for God. That's what he loves to do. So what can we do? Well, that leads us to number three, our action. What does he say here? Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Whom resist? Again, this is a command. It's not an option for us. And the idea is to set oneself against, to withstand or to resist or to oppose. The idea is that we plant our feet. One person said this is a term of defense rather than attack. I'm squared and I'm ready to say, no, that's not going to happen. Matter of fact, it's interesting, isn't it? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, we went through that passage in our Faith-Filled Family series. Verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand, same word, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. James chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Paul uses this term in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11 about Peter. Peter was carried away with dissimulation, as he talks about in that passage. And he says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. This is not a casual thing. This is an active thing. I'm going to withstand. I'm going to get in his face, if you will. Now, we're not talking about you go seeking him. But when he's there, you're ready to resist. How do we resist? We resist steadfast, strong, unmovable, rigid. You ever run up against a fence post in concrete? That would be the idea, but far even more significant than that. I don't know if those of you that remember, we had an awards banquet outside. I think the only outdoor awards banquet we ever did. It was a Hawaiian theme. And we thought, well, we can put 4x4 posts in the ground, and then we'll make kind of an outer ring. We hang some lights and so forth. Those of you that were here remember that. And we thought, we'll just dig a hole in the ground. Yeah, this is North Carolina clay, right? Which is nicknamed concrete, okay? So we had to get a power auger, gasoline-powered auger. And that thing, the first hole we dug, it wore Clarence out. Now, those of you that have been around here know, it takes a lot to wear him out, okay? I mean, literally, he gets about halfway through this hole, and he stops and says, okay, I'm done. And I'm thinking, pal, there is no sense in me even trying this. I mean, if this thing's going to wear you out like that, there is no way. I mean, it was like going through concrete. The idea is that we're steadfast. We're not going to move. But notice this. It's not just steadfast in a tenaciousness, a stubbornness. What does he say here? Steadfast in the faith. In the faith. Or literally, you could say, or by faith. Remember the idea again of Ephesians 6, the shield of faith. It's faith that allows us to stand. It's not in our ability or in our talents or in our maturity. It's in the faith of God. We're standing there because we know who we are in Him and that He has already whooped Him. And what great confidence that gives us. Again, not confidence in me. That's interesting. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 and following, it says this, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God night and day. And notice this, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. How's your stand against the adversary? What are you doing today to resist him? Do you oppose him in your home? Do you oppose him in your job? Do you oppose him on the internet? Do you oppose him with the TV programs you watch? What about the radio dial? What about what you read? Gone to meddling, right? That's what I say when sometimes we serve up what he wants on a platter. We give him the opportunities. We watch filth, we read filth, we listen to filth, and we wonder why we think filth. Now, I realize there's some things around us that we just can't get away from. Some of you work in a filthy environment. I understand that, but we don't have to feed it ourselves. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. But I want us to notice number four, our associations. Now, this is interesting because Peter ends this by saying, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Wait a minute. How will that help us? He says, I want you to understand that you're not the only one going through this. The afflictions which Christians must undergo in behalf of the same cause with Christ and the same sufferings with Him. There are other people out there that are going through this. Those who know Jesus Christ are living in the world. There are other people in the world today that are suffering the same things that you're suffering. And I'm not talking about just suffering like a sickness or whatever. That would be true. But in this particular context, in other words, the devil is after them all over the world. All over the world. This week, or I think it was actually the tail end of last week or whatever, Brother Dan Brown tried to get to the village where Brother Jeremiah was and the church and so forth. I never heard, did he actually make it? He did not. Okay, they had helicopter problems and just all kinds of stuff. Never made it in the village. Hello? Do you think the devil wants him in that village? Not on your life. He doesn't want Christians there that not only are saved, he's lost that battle, at least the ones who came to know Christ as their Savior. But if he can keep them from growing, then he's won another victory. And that's exactly what he knew. And he would not find it a problem at all to break a helicopter. Or whatever else. That's why it's important for us to pray. When we see a missionary say, hey, I'm about to do this, do you actually pray? God, they need our help. They're fighting this battle. There are other people out there that's in, having the same difficulties that we are. When we are attacked for the cause of Christ, that's not unique to us. It never has been. Thousands through the ages and even today are facing the same thing. This should encourage us to stand, because others are going through it too. Around the world today, in all kinds of different time zones, people have stood and preached the gospel. Brethren have gathered and they've been encouraged, and souls have been saved and songs have been sung. And it might have been in a different circumstances. It maybe was in a bamboo hut, or a mud side walls, or a tin roof, or maybe under a mango tree, or maybe not in anything. But they met, and they're going through the same things we are. And it's really important that we know that. That we're not by ourselves. And Peter wanted to encourage them with that. How does knowing others are assaulted help you? Well, I can tell you, it makes me not want to quit if they're not going to quit, right? It makes me want to stand. Can you take courage that your brothers and sisters are in the same fight? You know, I think this text before us is a partial fulfillment of Jesus' prayer in Luke chapter 22. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 and 32, he says this, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And he did, indeed. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." I wonder, as Peter penned these words of exhortation to another group of believers who may fail in what he failed in, as he's saying, hey, look, be sober, be vigilant, resist, if he's not thinking about, God, you've helped me get through this, and now I'm going to strengthen the brethren. I'm sure that Peter had this story in mind as he penned these words. He had not heeded Jesus' warning. He had not watched, and he failed. He stood before a little maid in a fire and said, I don't know who he is. And eventually got to where he needed to curse to convince them that he didn't know Jesus. Are you alert to what Satan wants to do to you? Well, I'm no Peter. Okay, that may be true. But if he can convince you you're no Peter, then you won't be too difficult to fall. He would love to destroy you. Are you actively resisting him? What are you doing to resist him? Can you identify where he's attacking you and your family? Do you know where that attack's coming from? Is he trying to discourage you with little nitpicking things? Is he coming in the back door, or is he making a full-on frontal assault? Be careful. He's walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Father, we need you. The truth is, without you, we have no idea where the attack's coming from. But when we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us and we're listening and heeding his voice, then we know. We can be alert because you know exactly what's happening. Satan can't do anything without you. And when we spend time in your word and we allow it to saturate our hearts and lives, then it allows us to resist when that fiery dart comes. We can put up that shield of faith. Help us to do that. Sometimes, after a message like this, attacks can intensify. So we pray that we would be careful, that we would be alert, that we'd be ready for what's coming. We need you. We pray that you would work now in hearts and lives. With heads bowed and eyes closed, can I challenge you today that if you've not been alert, that you be alert? I realize not everyone has your husband here or a man. Maybe you aren't married at all. But look, can I address the men for just a moment? Men, what are you doing specifically in your family to protect them from the enemy's darts? What are you specifically doing to be aware of the attacks that's coming? And if you've not resisted him, if you've not been ready, would you commit that? Your family needs you to be on that front line. Let's stand together quietly. And as they begin to play, heads bowed and eyes closed, would you Would you come and just say, God, I've not resisted like I should, or Lord, help me to be careful of the attack that may come in whatever form it may be. I need you. Please work in my heart. Would you do that? Look this way for just a moment. You have your homework on your bulletin. I also sent an email. Be careful this week, those of you particularly that have children in your home, that you don't give undue credit to the enemy. But also, don't act like we don't have one either. They need to know that. Maybe you can talk about how they would react if they were in the woods by themselves and it was dark. Would they be alert doing that? Give them some illustrations about alertness. Have your children push against you to give the idea of resistance. Probably most of your children aren't going to move you as a dad, I would think. That'll give them that idea of what that resistance is, how we are to actively be fighting against the devil. I just hope that you'll spend some quality time with your kids, teaching them these things. It's important for us. Well, I want to ask Jason and Carrie to come and stand here with me. We had supper with them on Friday night. And Jason, do you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior? You've accepted Him as your Savior, repented of your sins. Yes, sir. Carrie, is that your testimony as well? And both of you have been baptized by immersion after salvation? And have you read and agreed to the Constitution, abide by it? Yes. Great. And do you believe it's God's will for you to join us here at Emmanuel? We do. Amen. We're excited about that. Come here to take some master's level courses at the college, transferring from Korea. She taught there for many years. He was in the military. Neat, quick story before I get you to vote on him. I told him we've never had anybody vote against him, so they're not real worried about it, right? But their pastor actually knew Norm Johnston. And one of the reasons he recommended Ambassador was because of that connection. So kind of neat how Brother Norm's still doing that. So all in favor of accepting Jason and Carrie into our membership, signify by saying amen.
Amen.
And all opposed? See, that's good, right? By the way, let me tell you another quick thing, and then we'll let you go. Almost every day, then when I pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into His harvest field, I pray that for my children, for my grandchildren, and then I say from Emmanuel Baptist Church, and then I add a caveat. Lord, we'd really like for you to replace them when you send them out, right? So today we're sending out some couples, and God's replacing them. A direct answer to prayer with that. And I'm excited about what God's going to do. And I will pray, and it takes them about 10 years to go through college or something like that. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But we're thrilled to have them here. You get to know them. Come by and shake their hand. It'll be great.